B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
He joins us from 4 to 5 each Friday. A lot of different issues to talk about with our next guest. Number 37, Brian Westbrook joins us. What's up, B-West?
Can you believe that? Unbelievable. It's been a busy day, though, Mike. It's been a busy day. Not just that jersey. I've been on a call almost all day long with the Villanova Alumni Board. Ooh. They inducted me as one of the new members of the Villanova Alumni Board. I'm so happy to be a part of it. But I tell you, I got to get used to these all-day meetings.
Well, see, this is the corporate corporate office thing now.
Yeah.
You got to get used to it. What was this, a little Zoom meeting between the Villanova Blue Bloods there and the... In the conference room or what?
That's right. It's a Zoom meeting. You know, they introduced myself, John Celestan. You remember the former player?
Oh, John Celestan. Yep. Sure. New Brunswick, New Jersey's own.
That's right.
John Celestan.
Didn't he play with the Lakers, won a championship?
Yeah, he played in the league a couple years.
Yeah. So they introduced us to the board today, and we had to kind of give our Villanova story and how much we love the school. And then they talked about how much money they want to raise. So that was the next part. So there's that.
So there can't be less a big name that, you know, you throw out there in the rich circles.
They've been doing a really good job of collecting money and getting some donations without my name. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. I got my buddy works in that department, the great Whitey Rigsby.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big time fundraiser there for the Cats.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. They raise a lot of money there. A lot of very good wealthy alumni over at Villanova.
So what are your duties now as a new member of the board?
Well, we haven't got into that yet.
Uh-huh.
You know, right before I left, I literally just left the meeting. They said, you know, we have some good plans for you. So I'm sure it's going to be something. But, you know, we want to make sure that everyone is included on campus and hopefully bring a little bit more diversity to the campus. That's one of my major goals. Mm-hmm. Make sure our campus is diverse and that everyone there is being represented properly. And if we can accomplish that, I think we'll be taking a huge step in the right
direction. That's awesome, man. It's a great mandate for you. And listen, at the very least, you should be able to raise the money that they paid you under the table when you're a football player there. So I think that's all good.
Pay back my debt, huh? That's right.
Yeah. All right. So listen, let's talk. We were talking about this Eagle thing. It is amazing that the attitude has flipped so quickly. Now, you were in on this whole thing. That was a disastrous season. All the stuff that went down, everybody was down on Howie. It took one draft to bring people back into the optimistic view. Can you, as a former player, do you have any insights on that?
Well, isn't that how it's supposed to be? Isn't it supposed to be that you draft some young guys and now as a fan base, we see the way out? As a fan base, we all watched 4-11-1 last season. We all saw how our team struggled. Our franchise player in Carson Wentz is gone. Our Super Bowl winning head coach is gone. A lot of the players that I guess we've watched over these few years, Super Bowl players that was on our team during that run, they're gone. And now we got some new blood, and I think we should be excited. We should be excited about the prospect of Smith. We should be excited about some of these young guys. Let's see what Dickerson could do in a couple years. We should be excited to see if Jalen Hurts, with weapons around him, can be the type of player that we saw him be in college. Why wouldn't we?
Well, here's where I come from, and Tyrone feels the same way. The front office cred right now is low, and yet one draft has reversed the front office credit. Any other sport, it would take a longer time, I think, for people to buy in. But football has this immunity here in this city.
Well, the city loves football. To me, it makes perfect sense. The city loves football. They want to see the Eagles get another opportunity. But remember what has happened here in Philadelphia. At one point, we had LeSean McCoy, Macklin, DeSean Jackson. Chip Kelly comes in and wipes out that whole roster. A couple of years after that, Mike, we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just imagine what just happened for us. Our whole roster is gone. The guys that we were depending on, coaching, quarterback, gone. And now I think we're starting that process over, and we know that in the NFL it takes 2 or 3 years, and we could be back, right back where we want to be as a team and a fan base. So why wouldn't we be excited about that? We just saw it happen just a few years ago here in Philly.
All right, but we also have seen the last few drafts that have not hit. under this general manager. So while I know that this draft could bring him back a little bit, but we won't know that until we see these players. Like, how do we look at it right now? Is, oh, they're back. You know, like, oh. The first round pick, I think, has really, like, cast an umbrella over this whole draft where Smith is the crown, the jewel, right? But we don't know about the rest, do we?
No, we don't know, but we see the potential. Mike, we never know. We never know if the team is going to work. We never know if these players are going to work, but we see some potential. We see that our offense got a little bit better, right? We got Smith. We got our quarterback some weapons. You know, we got a running back, a Gainwell, who I think is going to help out Miles Sanders just a little bit. We're taking the right step. And I think for the fan base that, you know, you can say whatever you want about Howie Roseman, but I think for the fan base, they're saying, okay, well, at least Howie got the first round pick. Mm-hmm. You know, good, right?
Yeah.
And the second round pick, yeah, question mark there. But we can see how if he gets healthy, he can help our team. Why wouldn't we be excited at this point?
Well, I can't give the excitement. I'm in a holding pattern. And I think that's fair. You got to really prove something to me before I go all in after the way you've treated this fan base the last couple of years with your drafts. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Mike, just think about, I mean, how good is a holding pattern? A holding pattern, even if you're there, even if you're just lukewarm on this team, that's great because this team was just 4-11-1 and their quarterback is gone, $100 million quarterback gone, head coach is gone. So, I mean, you're at a holding pattern from a team that just had a terrible record. So to me, that's a win. That at least you're saying, you know what, they got a chance. Let me at least see. Because if I was a fan of a team that was 4-11-1, you lost a coach and lost a quarterback, normally it's I'm down on this team. They have no chance. They have no hope. But even you just admitted that you're in a holding pattern. At least you have some hope.
Well, I'll be more honest than this. I'm in a holding pattern about this draft. I'm not in a holding pattern about this team. They're a 5-win team. Like, what am I getting excited about? Well, like, wake me up when the real excitement comes to town here.
Well, this is what I'm excited about. I'm excited about seeing these young players. I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC East this year. I'm excited to see the development of these young players. I'm excited to see how much better Jalen Hurts comes back this year opposed to last year. Hopefully they get a little bit of off-season training together as a team as well. I'm excited to see the jump from his first year to his second year. I'm excited to see if this new coach, you know, that hasn't had great press conference, hasn't really showed himself the way that Philly fans want, I'm excited to see if he can actually coach football. That's what I'm excited about. And maybe it's just me being optimistic, yeah. But I think it's an opportunity for our team to get better. And you got to remember, the Cowboys have sucked for each of the last 10 years. The Washington football team got lucky and won a division at 7-9. And we know who the Giants are, Daniel Jones up there. So a couple years later, we're talking about a team that could potentially be winning the NFC East. And that's the way that I look at it.
All right. Now, explain this.
We got a little news.
This is
actually a good player. Yeah. Former Lions second-round pick Kerryon Johnson, a running back, was claimed on waivers today by the Eagles.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay.
Kerryon Johnson.
I think that's really smart.
Little depth.
You know what that means? Peace, Boston Scott.
Yeah.
No, that's what it means.
Plus they drafted the kid from Memphis.
Yeah, so he's your third back. So it's Sanders, Johnson,
Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard's not going to make the team. No, he's not going to make the team.
All right, so it's Kerryon Johnson, the draft pick,
Gainwell,
and
yeah, that's going to be a three.
Okay.
Are they going to carry four, Brian?
They usually
carry three, right?
See, the problem with Jordan Howard, he's not going to give you very much on special teams. So, I mean.
And yeah, Gainwell probably will.
Gainwell will. So maybe you keep Jordan Howard in that case, especially since Gainwell is a rookie.
But Boston Scott, there's probably not room. You would agree with that looking at this, right?
Yeah. I think when you pick up Gainwell, he may potentially take Boston Scott's spot. But here's the thing. You know, Deuce Staley's not even here. At this point, the rookie running backs have to be able to come in and block, pass protect. They have to be able to come in and pick up the offense and not just play solely special teams. That's where I think Boston Scott can help this team be that third down back out of the backfield.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, now here's the question to carry this conversation more. The one thing that we are brought us up because is it seems like you have more optimism after a disaster of the Eagles right now than you have optimism that the Sixers are going to win the NBA title. Mm. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that. We've kind of noticed that. Maybe people right now aren't paying as much attention because this regular season, we have to just get it out of the way and it keeps kind of droning on. But I think that speaks to how we view football differently than the other sports in this town.
I don't know about that, Mike. I think people have seen what the Nets have done, the collection of, you know, all-stars on that team. We mm-hmm. obviously know what the Lakers are. We've seen Milwaukee's resurgence over the last couple, probably last few weeks here. And we look at our team, we say, okay, we're not quite there when we look at the Sixers. I still think people have a bunch of faith in the Sixers. I think, you know, when I look at it, I'm saying Harden's still hurt. He hasn't performed yet. I still think the Sixers got a chance in the East. Can mm-hmm. Giannis show up seven games in a row and score 50? I don't think he can do it. But for us, I think we still have a chance in the East. So I don't know that people are down on the Sixers.
I don't think they're down. I just think that they... The Eagles have really taken, like, they're way optimistic. We ran a poll yesterday, and it was fairly close.
Well, that's the draft. I mean,
the draft refreshes draft, people, doesn't it?
Yeah. It gets you kind of, it starts the process again. So we're back at the beginning. It's the potential.
But the drafts have been bad. Well, that's the thing. That's why it doesn't refresh for me, because I go, what's the track record of these drafts that everybody's so excited about?
But we've never had the best receiver in college football. We got that this year.
All right.
We never had two players from the best program in college football. We got that this year. How we changed some things this year that we haven't seen in the past. So in some people's mind, that's actually a change for the better. And now we can hopefully move forward with this talent that we've collected to begin the process. And I'm not talking about that. We're not at the end of the process. We're not in at the middle. We're at the beginning of this building process for this football team. I think there should be some excitement about that.
Okay. Let's look at the Sixers. And I don't know where you stand right now, because you I don't know if you've been overly enthusiastic about the Sixers being able to get to the NBA Finals. But what I'm looking at now is a team that is, I think, going to earn the number one seed and have a much better path, better meaning less stressful path, mm-hmm. to get to the Eastern Conference Finals, where the Nets and Bucks are going to have to play in the semis.
Yes. I think as long as Harden is injured or a little bit gimpy during the playoffs, I think the Sixers have just as good a chance of coming out of the East as the Nets, the Bucks. I'm not even going to mention the Knicks, who've just been hot these last couple weeks here. But I think they have just as good of a chance. Can Giannis be hot, as I mentioned, for seven games? I don't know. I know that we're going to make it hard on him to be able to beat us, because we play defense very well. And if the Nets don't have Harden, I don't know that they have enough points to be able to beat us in that way. So, to me, I'm very optimistic about the Sixers and what they have the ability to do. Now, in order for that to happen, Embiid has to be the MVP again. Simmons has to be the guy that's going to get you close to 20 and 10 to 6 every night. And Tobias Harris and the other guys got to show up. I mean, that has to be a part of it, and I think we all know that. But is that a possibility? Is that likely? Yes, in my opinion, very, very likely, especially if Harden is going to be out or gimpy during the playoffs.
Yeah, you feel really good about this. I like
it. You don't feel good about that?
I feel good. Really good about it. Yeah. I mean, like, you have been kind of reticent about the Sixers and reticent about Ben. I just taking your temperature right now on
this. Well, yeah, I'm still worried about Ben showing up in the playoffs. That's a big time worry on my mind. But with the injury to Harden, listen, the Bucks are much improved from last year. They don't have as much pressure on Giannis to score all the points because of Holiday. But I still think that I still think that we are better than that team. I really do. As a whole team, we're better than that team. And we in areas that we're not better, we can defend better. And to me, that makes a big time difference. And I think having Doc Rivers, an experienced head coach, changes the mindset of this basketball team in a 7-game series.
All right. Now, one thing I want to get to before we get back to the phones. Brian Westbrook was a mere rookie who hadn't even put pads on yet, I believe, when this happened. So it's the 19th anniversary of the great Allen Iverson rant. And I'm curious to know, first of all, what your reaction was to that, because you had just gotten drafted, but you were going to be here in Philadelphia, so you were well aware of what happened that day, I assume, right?
Well aware, and I tell you, throughout a locker room, just imagine guys that don't really want to practice, don't want to be, I think it was at mini camp at the time, everybody's yelling that. Everybody's screaming it. Now, I'm just a young kid out of Villanova. I'm like, listen, I need to go show myself in practice, so I had to use practice as my games, but you would hear Hugh Douglas and all different types of guys in that locker room, Donovan McNabb yelling, you know, that phrase by Allen Iverson. To me, it was great. We used it all the time. And anytime you didn't want to practice, that's the thing that you yell. That was absolutely it. It was
all right. So, like, this is a professional athlete that was a major player here in mm-hmm. Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did it shock you? Like, what was your emotional reaction to it? Did your eyes pop out? Like, what were you thinking?
I was one of the guys that felt, he's right. Why would we be talking about practice with Allen Iverson? You told me that he's out drinking and partying and staying up all night long, and he still comes and give you 30. To me, hey, listen, practicing may mess him up a little bit. Let him just do his own thing and come in and score buckets. And remember, that was during the time, were the Sixers in the championship that year?
They had gotten eliminated.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so it was okay. After, and then there was all this consternation problems with the coach who was throwing that out there, that he was fed up with Allen. So that's what prompted the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, how can you be mad at, you know, 30 points tonight and all that other stuff? To me,
you know, old school coaches, though.
Old school, that works. But I mean, just imagine this. That was his lifestyle. That's the thing that made him Allen Iverson. That actually is part of the reason why he's beloved in this city. Why mess that up? Allow him, it's a star driven league. Allow him to be himself and allow him to come to practice and do whatever he needs to do. But as long as he showed up during the game,
yeah,
hey, I'm not arguing with that.
All right, we're going to play it for you because I want you to, like, in this little clip that we're playing. It's the main part of the and he says practice a lot. Mm-hmm. So I want you to estimate how many times he says practice in this. How long is this, Ty, that we're going to play?
2 minutes.
2 minutes. 2 minutes. How many times does he say practice?
In 2 minutes, I'm going
to
say nine.
Okay, ready, Ty? Let's go. Here's AI and the famous presser.
If I can't practice, I can't practice, man. I'm hurt, I'm hurt. I mean, simple as that. It ain't about that. I mean, it's not about that at all, you know what I'm saying? I mean, but it's easy to talk about, it's easy to sum it up. When you just talk about practice, we sitting here, I supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Well, Coach, I mean, listen, we talking about practice. Not a game. We talking about practice. Not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we're talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man. When you come in the arena and you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
Well, we talking about practice right now.
But it's an issue that you're coaching.
We talking about
practice.
Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me, too. But we talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We're talking about practice.
Alan, is it possible, though, that from where he's coming from, if you practice, not you would be better, but your teammates would be better?
How the hell can I make my teammates better by practicing?
That's the one that gets me, man. So that was 18 and a half, right?
That was a lot. But you know what? I feel everything that he is saying. I feel everything that he's saying, but I also understand that question. Maybe the guys around you would be better if you just were there. I certainly understand both sides of that, but for him, he's like, listen, I'm giving you 30 every night. How much more do you want? If I go to practice, you think I'm going to get you more points than that? The guys that need it, they had practice. That's what they doing.
Yeah, he's not going to make Matt Harper better. No. But what I think is that those guys would maybe feel better that he was there because they have to be there. I think that's the point of the question was trying to...
No doubt about it. I mean, the team would be better. The morale of the team would be better. And I think you also got to figure, having the best player, one of the best players in the league at practice is probably going to make the guys a little bit better as well. So, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, but it'll live in infamy. You know, it's funny. Now that I heard it again. It was like a horse at the starting gate. Like, he started, you know, and all of a sudden... The gate opened and boom, he went through.
It's not really about that. It's not really about that. It's easy. And then
boom, it was like a snowball rolled down the hill and it just gained momentum. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be back with your phone calls on the other side. The Mike Misnelli Show is on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.